When the Reformation came against the Roman Catholic Church, it is generally conceded that Ignatius of Loyola, founder of the Jesuit order, leader of the Counter-Reformation, did more to save the Roman Church from total annihilation by the Reformation than any other single person. Inigo was his name. He changed it to Ignatius of Loyola. A strange monk soldier. The Society of Jesus was constituted on Assumption Day in 1534 in the chapel of Notre Dame de Montmartre. Ignatius was then 44 years old. After communion, the animator and his companions vowed to go to the Holy Land as soon as their studies were finished to convert the infidels. They were blocked from that, but the constitution of the Company of Jesus, the formal, drafted, legal entity within the framework of the Catholic Church that brought it into existence, was at last drafted and approved in Rome by Paul III in 1540. And the Jesuits put themselves at the disposition of the Pope, promising him unconditional obedience. Teaching, confession, preaching, and charitable work were the field of action for this new order. Foreign missions not excluded. To you that know the history of the Orient and the Catholic Church therein, and the Jesuits on the Portuguese trading ships, particularly in Japan, and you that watched Shogun on TV will tune into that. But they gained their spurs, or earned their arms, or whatever analogy you want to use. Now, parenthetically, let me say, this is not an anti-Catholic speech. I said this morning as I preached, I am not one of those preachers that in simple-minded, instant accusation calls the Catholic Church the harlot woman of the Book of Revelation. I literally believe that as the person, the historic ruler that will emerge out of the old Seleucid portion of the Grecian Empire, the successor general and his territory, Seleucus, of the Alexandrian Empire, Alexander the Great, his general who succeeded him in that territory, out of that territory will rise Antichrist as a historic person, uproot a small portion of the reestablished commonwealth of kings out of the old Roman Empire, which when that time of those 10 kings comes, in their generation the end will come. He will become another person when the beast out of the pit, a demon power, possesses him. Likewise, the false prophet of the Book of Revelation, the head of the false church called the harlot woman, will also be demon-possessed and become another person. as biblical projections of prophecy limit the geographic area from which the historic person will rise as Antichrist, into whom the beast out of the pit will move and possess. The framework of the harlot church is a church that is established, linked with government, and with the power to bring forth a mouthpiece as a religious leader who will preach humanism and allegiance to government, but he'll become another person when the demon enters him to make him literally the mouthpiece of Satan and empower him to work miracles, not by divine power, but by satanic power. So I do not preach the Catholic Church as now looked at is the harlot woman. It will be a world church. The dangers are there that it can come out of the Catholic Church. There may even be probability because of its historic patterns of adaptation. But I will not universally condemn the Catholics. And some of the most faithful and best king's houses and Christians are those that have come out of the Catholic religious frame. I'm a Christ man trying to get other Christ men and women committed to Him. What I'm leading toward is something that is still an attack on the news media. I mean, we have watched the deprogrammers. We have watched the government and established Christianity in this country frown on strong Christian leadership until any man exercising the kind of authority God-given that the Apostle Paul exercised when he told the Corinthian church, "Shall I come in love or come with a rod?" Until the premise of the New Testament that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is totally ignored. And the position of the ministry has become a whipping boy. And anyone who exercises any leadership in the Christian world immediately is tabbed as a potential Jimmy Jones, with one exception. You'll find deprogrammers going after Catholics. You don't find the FCC sending chemists in to examine the host to see if it turns to blood and flesh after Hocus Corpus Meus is uttered. Now let me quickly say, I'd be just as against it as a violation of constitutional rights, but in the name of truth and as an exposure of the limited intelligence on religious matters of self-appointed experts called newsmen, time somebody speak out. Because I find them doing nothing but kowtowing and bowing to the Catholic Church in the general news coverage of them, rare exceptions. The recently deceased Cardinal Cody in Chicago being one, because they thought there might be a little sex in the rumors there. And they'd sell their soul for a sex story. The news media, that is. It's time we start understanding from the oldest, or at least one of the oldest continuous churches, mainline Christianity, the Loyola Jesuit organization that produced the Counter-Reformation, saving the Catholic Church from the repercussions of the Reformation. I'd like you to take a look at it. This is a lesson for the lame brains that are the silent audience that look on and think strong leadership anywhere in the church world is latent Jimmy Jonesism. They drafted the Constitution of the Company of Jesus in 1540, put themselves at the disposition of the Pope, promising him unconditional obedience. In 1546, the political side of their career was launched when the Pope chose Leonez and Salmeron to represent him at the Council of Trent in the capacity of pontifical theologians. They made such a mark, defending the Pope, defending his authority. They set up, though there were very few of them, they set up a discipline that would make army training look like a second-rate performance. They became the most highly trained and dedicated militant arm of the Catholic Church. Their universities and their training today, the most respected. Their discipline, the tightest. They were given special kinds of privileges. After 1558, Leonez, the subtle tactician of the Council of Trent, where they made their reputation. And as you know, it was the Council of Trent that reaffirmed basic Catholic theological positions to counterbalance the inroads of the writings of John Calvin, Martin Luther, and the theologians of the Reformation. Because of Leonez as one of the pontifical theologians' role as the subtle tactician of the Council of Trent, he was made general of the congregation with the power to organize the order as he was inspired. You let a church in this country decide that it wants to follow a God-led man, even though they have the residual power, if he gets out of line, to remove him. You got the news media out there thinking that some Frankenstein's been turned loose on the world. Listen to this. Leonez was made general of the congregation with the power to organize the order as he was inspired. As he was inspired. Now, churches, both pastors in and expect him to be inspired of the Lord. But when a Protestant church does it, it becomes suspect. The declarations which he himself composed with Salmeron were added to the constitutions to form a commentary. They accentuated even more the despotism of the general who was elected for life. Not just the Pope, this is the general of the Society of Jesus, an order within the church. An admonitor, procurator, and assistants residing in Rome will help him generally to administer the order divided then into five congregations, Italy, Germany, France, Spain, England, and America. Now, there's a history of these congregations. For example, they were outlawed in Switzerland. But as they have moved around the world, they have become almost an independent policing agency. Now, I'm a historic churchman. I've always been. And that's what gives my enemies a pill they find difficult to digest, because they try to characterize me as something other than that. I accept the authority of Scripture. I have no private independent revelation. I'm ready to bow to that Scripture any day. I'm an elected pastor by a 34-year-old Congregational Polity Church, and I have always been a historic churchman. I didn't create a following. I'm the elected president of a denomination worldwide of some of the most independent historic church leaders around this world. I'm an academician in training, PhD in philosophies of education from Stanford University, and utterly ruled by facts and controlled by God's Word. So they try to put me in a cultic frame with some vision out of heaven. I don't fit, and they gnash their teeth. But I am enough an academician to recognize the price of freedom is association with men I disagree with, and I will say to my dying breath that if the Catholic Church has a right to have the Society of Jesus, the Church of Scientology has a right to have the Guardian Group. I'm sure Hubbard was smart enough to see the analogy. Listen to this. The order divided then into five congregations: Italy, Germany, France, Spain, England, and America. These congregations were themselves divided into provinces, overgrouping the different establishments of the order. Only the admonitor, or overseer, and assistants are nominated by the congregation. The general, Leonese in 1558, appoints all other officials, promulgates, and ordinances which are not to modify the constitutions, administers the wealth of the order according to his own wishes, and directs its activities, for which he is responsible, to the Pope only. Do you hear what I just said? You let a church delegate to their pastor the right to appoint, even though the church retains the power to withdraw it by majority vote. And it becomes suspect. Since 1558, the most powerful order of the Catholic Church operates this way. To this militia, so tightly knit in the hand of its chief, and which needs the greatest autonomy to make its actions effective, the Pope concedes privileges which may seem exorbitant to other religious orders. Parenthetically, can I say something about the FCC? Huh? It is against the law, directly or indirectly, for any television license or radio license in America to be controlled directly or indirectly by a foreign power. I'll make you bet if you want to check it. Last time I checked, there were 17 stations of one type or the other owned by Roman Catholic organizations which a 10-year-old kid knows is indirectly controlled by the Vatican. And I know of no FCC investigation anywhere. I'm only talking about fairness and truth today. In my mood today, I don't even really have the inclination to ask for help, though I know that it's out there. That's probably why I have the non-inclination. I'm interested in truth today. The Pope concedes privileges exorbitant to other orders. By their constitutions, the Jesuits were exempt from the cloistered rule which applied to monastic life in general. In fact, they are monks living, quote, in the world, and outwardly nothing distinguishes them from the secular clergy. I used to go from Stanford down to San Jose in a weekly religious discussion with their graduates out of the Jesuit university there. But contrary to this and other religious congregations, they are not subjected to the bishop's authority. Like a independent Russian KGB or Nazi SS. By organizational structure, I'm talking about independent, sort of world, separate kind of organization that bypasses all local church autonomy, accountable only through the general to the Pope. Is anybody so uninformed in the Catholic hierarchy to not know the power of the Jesuits? I'm not discussing Catholic sincerity. We're talking about their organization. As early as 1545, a bull of Pope Paul III enabled them to preach, hear confession, dispense the sacraments, and say Mass. In short, exercise their ministry without having to refer to the bishop. They have the power to give absolution, change vows for others which are easier to fulfill, or even cancel them. The general's power concerning absolution and dispensation is even wider. He can lift all punishment inflicted on the members of the society before or after them entering the order, absolve all their sins, even the sin of heresy and schism, even the sin of falsification of apostolic writings. How's that for power? You know any government agency anywhere that's running around trying to find Catholic excommunicants and use them to sue the Pope on our tax dollars? I'm only talking fairness today. I don't believe the government ought to be messing around in the church. But I'd like to see some even-handed treatment. The general absolves in person or through a delegate all those who are under his obedience. He can absolve them of the unhappy state arising from excommunication, suspension, or interdict. Do you remember what this state did to the worldwide Church of God because their pastor general excommunicated a couple of people? And because somebody said they had some gold? And then, when the worldwide Church of God drew an analogy between the authority of the Pope, one of our state attorney generals sneered as though that was unthinkable as an analogy. The general absolves in person or through a delegate all those who are under his obedience of the unhappy state arising from excommunication, suspension, or interdict, providing these censures were not inflicted for excesses so enormous that others beside the papal tribunal knew about them. That means if somebody's been excommunicated and it isn't a worldwide piece of news, he can just bring them back in and push them out. Absolute authority. He also absolves the irregularity issuing from bigamy, injuries done to others, murder and assassination, as long as those wicked deeds were not publicly known and the cause of scandal. Finally, Gregory the 13th bestowed on the company the right to deal in commerce and banking, a right it made use of extensively later on. By granting the Jesuits such exorbitant privileges, which run counter to the Church's antiquated constitution for other groups, the papacy wanted not only to supply them with powerful weapons to fight the infidels, but especially use them as a bodyguard to defend her own unrestricted power in the Church and against the Church. They moved into politics. Using the power of excommunication and confession of world leaders as they aimed on Catholic world leaders to retain power and to use it. Now here's why I was reading it. The spirit of the order. Loyola wrote, he's the founder. I just get a little angry at this country turning stomach over Moon. Now, if Moon commits a crime, it's just been proven. He can be convicted. Whether guilty or not, the jury decided, and I happen to believe he is a constant victim of persecution. But no church is above the law, including the Jesuits. What I resent is the world acting like certain unpopular modern religions who vest power in their leader don't have a right to exist in this country. If that's true, then be even-handed and kick the Catholics back to Rome. Now, I would fight against that happening, and I got a long record of standing up for people that I have no theological affinity for. But in the name of factual history, Moon, Scientology, nor any other unpopular religion in this country thought up first the idea of strong leadership. And if the deprogrammers are going to go anywhere, let me just read you before I do anything else. I don't have to read it. The basic authority of their well-targeted control over leaders, particularly in the medieval world, that was counter-reformation to the Reformation, become confessor to Catholic kings and educator of their kids. By being confessor with the power of excommunication and absolution to the world leaders in that day, they control the present. By training their kids, they control the future. Yet here is the seedbed of their discipline. Let us be convinced, wrote Loyola, that all is well and right when the superior commands it. Now, I'm not preaching this doctrine. You understand that? I'm just saying, in the name of fairness, if we're going to apply a principle, be even-handed. Loyola wrote again, even if God gave you an animal without sense for a master, you will not hesitate to obey him as master and guide because God ordained it to be so. I doubt seriously that Reverend Moon or Ron Hubbard ever made a demand that strong. Now, don't ask me if I'm supporting the Moonies or Scientology. The answer is no. Frankly, I have high regard for Heber Gentz personally. I have high regard for certain members of Scientology that I have met. I have high regard for the freedom rights that they have a right to enjoy as much as anyone else, based upon the church organization called Scientology's performance to date in reciprocating and returning to this church and this ministry an identity with our battles, to the degree that we have fought in principle for their battles. My judgment of Scientology is the organization is not worth the powder it takes to blow them wherever they're going. Which may surprise some people. In regard to the theology, my judgment is they'd be better off to listen to me. In regard to their basic smarts, with the enemies that Scientology has had, and I hope some of them are listening to me, with the enemies that Scientology has had, and the risk to me of even uttering the name Scientology on my show, which could only hurt me and never help me, and could only help Scientology and never hurt them. For their leaders on the West Coast to have their head in some self-serving cloud and never stick their head out of that cloud to identify with principles in the natural makes me suspect they are as self-serving and as exploitive as they've been accused of being, and the burden of proof is on them to prove differently, because I repeat, I have never, absent Heber Gentz personally, an individual Scientologist personally, never seen the organization Scientology ever do anything in this world that didn't further Scientology, and for that reason, I have little respect for the organization and less respect for their beliefs, because it appears to me their beliefs are used to gain a respect, and I haven't yet seen the organization identify with a cause that didn't help them. So let it be understood, I ain't no Scientology promoter. And I think less of the Moonies. And the Bible says a man who makes the claims about himself that Moon makes is a false Messiah and damned in his destiny. And God deliver, in my judgment, the Moonies from their delusion that Moon is another Jesus Christ in any way, forerunner or otherwise. And furthermore, their theological position is as insidious to the foundations of this nation as communism is, because their dedicated religious purpose, as stated in the New York case, is to undo the separation of church and state and set the church over the state in a theocracy which would destroy this nation and put it under the reign of a false Messiah. So let nobody think I support either one of these groups. I have the good sense and the constitutional character to say the price of my freedom is to defend theirs. And I have less respect for them than anybody, because they need that defense more than anybody, and they are forever absent, it seems, in defending anybody else but themselves. So in that, I'm head and shoulders above them. I hope somebody tells their leaders that, though I'd make them a bet their leaders will be as unresponsive as the FCC, which ought to tell some of you deluded people, get out of those groups and get with somebody who puts his body where his mouth is instead of mouthing ideals he never stands up for. Just thought I'd say that. I am saying today, having stated as blunt as I know how the disqualification in identity, I have no quarrel with the idealism of the philosophy of Scientology. I disagree with the base, the cause, and the accomplishments, and the future placement of spirituality. But if a Scientologist lives the ethics that he's taught, he'll be a better citizen and a better man. My quarrel with Scientology is that their official leadership have their head in the sand fighting their own battles, exploiting help where it's offered, and to this date, and I hope I jolt them a bit, I've yet to see them produce, when it came to helping somebody where there was no perceived organization of Scientology benefit. My quarrel with the Moonies, I think their doctrine is damnable heresy to the destruction of the cross of Jesus Christ and His church. And it hackles me as it would hackle the Apostle Paul to hear an analogy drawn between Moon and Jesus Christ, because there ain't no way in God's earth Jesus Christ would be dumb enough to put $1 million in any bank in the world in His name. So I don't want anybody calling me a British Israelite, friend of the Moonies, or friend of Scientology. I'm a freedom fighter and a truth seeker. And leave it there. Now, can I continue my fight without some dummy deciding I've changed sides? The principle is, if you're going after the Moonies and going after Scientology, go after the Jesuits. Go after the Catholic Church. Now, why don't they? Same reason bullies don't pick on a weightlifter and catch a guy that's got the palsy. Because they're too chicken-livered and they're not fighting for principle. And truth needs to expose them as pimples on a wart. Let us be convinced that all is well and right when the superior commands it. Even if God gave you an animal without sense for master, you will not hesitate to obey him as master and guide because God ordained it be so. Something even better. The Jesuit must see in his superior not a fallible man, but Christ himself. How come we don't hear a commentary on Channel 2? Channel 2 investigates the Jesuits. Now, that'd be a man-sized job. I mean, you know, I used to go in various cities. There aren't too many of them that have this anymore. You see it more in London than you do around Los Angeles or San Francisco. But I used to go down and listen to the guys in the park with the winos sitting around looking, you know, I'd be look. Standing up on a soapbox, shaking the world with their oratory. I'll believe some of these investigative reports when they get out of fixing transmissions. I mean, my Lord, has anybody ever been as insulted in the world as thinking that you, the viewer out there, have to be told that a transmission shop won't cheat you? I mean, is there anybody out there so dumb they don't know you better have somebody stand over your car when a garage mechanic is working on it? I mean, I was only a teenager when I noticed that if I walked out, my car was in the garage and I got billed by the hour while the same mechanic worked on three or four cars. If you haven't got a friend that you can go to with your car, God help you. You don't need a TV to tell you. And when it's all said and done, what's changed? Huh? I mean, the investigation gets one poor guy put out of business, so five crooks move in his property. I understand chiropractor is going to get it next week. Or some poor little cult that everybody hates. Here comes the bully to jump on him and stomp around and play Tarzan. Beating up on some poor cult that's been stomped on by everybody. Try the Jesuits. I dare any station to try that. Try Roman papal control of Catholic subordinate organizations, television ownership. See if it meets the criteria of foreign control or ownership, and then investigate the FCC, a TV station, investigate the FCC to see if they have knowingly allowed a station in violation of the law to come under foreign control. Oh, well, they have a separate board. Wait a minute. Do you really believe that anybody that can be excommunicated from heaven forever by the Pope is going to argue with him? And do you really believe the Pope will appoint anybody or allow anybody to run a Catholic organization that doesn't want to go to heaven? Come on. All I'm saying is, listen to this. The Jesuit must see in his superior not a fallible man, but Christ himself. J. Huber, professor of Catholic theology in Munich. I'm going to look at the only people I can see. Are any of you hearing anything you didn't hear before, didn't know? Come on. Anybody that didn't know this? You may have assumed, but... How come? I want to know this. How come that the news media has not complained that the Catholic Church hasn't joined and passed muster with its financial statements with the Better Business Bureau back in Chicago, like they do the rest of the television ministry? Anybody heard any news reports condemning the Catholic Church for not filing its records with the Better Business Bureau in Chicago? They require a board that doesn't work for you. Disciplined external controls. The general of the Jesuit order would have to give up his power. Huber, professor of Catholic theology in Munich and author of one of the most important works on the Jesuits, wrote, "Here is a proven fact. The constitutions of the Jesuits repeat 500 times that one must see Christ in the person of the general. When he gives you an order, that's Christ's order. The discipline of the order, assimilated so often or compared to that of the army, is really nothing compared to the army. Military obedience is not the equivalent of Jesuitic obedience. Military obedience just gets an external performance." Yes, sir. "Jesuitic obedience is more extensive as it gets hold of the whole man and is not satisfied like the other with the exterior act. It requires the sacrifice of the will and laying aside of one's own judgment." Does that sound like candidate for deprogramming? Ignatius Loyola himself wrote in his letter to the Portuguese Jesuits, "We must see black as white if the church says so." Hey, I'm not approving this. I mean, I'm just as non-Catholic as I am non-Scientology and non-Mooney. I'd rather worship the sun than the moon. Moon's never done anything for me. Doesn't even make me feel romantic. Thank God. All I'm saying is, what's good for the Catholics ought to be good for the Moonies. And if we're going to go after churches because they're different or small, go after them all. When's the news media going to wake up? There's one amendment, one First Amendment. "We must see black as white," Ignatius said, "if the church says so. Such is this height of freedom and liberation from one's own bondage that the Jesuit is truly liberated from himself as he is totally subjected to his masters. Any doubt or scruple would be imputed to him as sin." How many times have you read in the newspaper some religious leader being condemned by the media as brainwashing his constituents because if they oppose him, it's considered sin? I've never asked anybody to give me that kind of allegiance. I've just said, show me the chapter and verse if I'm wrong. Give it to me from the book, not your ideas. I've sure not offered myself as perfect. I hope I can teach God's Word well enough that some of you that are better candidates for God's changing work in you will move ahead of me. The reason I want a pastor till I'm 120, I really think it's going to take that long for God to even start getting a little hold of some things He has to deal with in me. I'm preaching Christ, not me. All I ask from you, I expect you to ask only that from me, that when I stumble, I get up, point in the direction the book points. But I'll fight for the right. If any religious leader that comes along and some of these parents piddling around in the 70s with their own dopey life, sexual habits, and non-religious idiocy, because they lose their...